Accession number 19089, Reel 7.
Stephen Kennedy, Reel 7. I believe you were in the Suez operation in 1956.
Yes.
Can you give me the background in some detail to that?
The regiment was in Munster in Westphalia in 1956, and we were ordered back to England. We arrived at Tidworth, and we then started to train at Tidworth a little while, bringing in an awful lot of national servicemen who were and Z reservists. They were called up for the Suez operation. The barracks that we were in Tidworth had been used by the Hungarian refugees of the Hungarian Revolution at that time, and were in a shocking state, and we were glad to be able to move out, and we went down to Plymouth. We were under canvas at Plymouth for a few weeks, and then the orders came to get on the ships. And we went to Plymouth docks, and the ships were landing, tank landing craft. And we sailed from Plymouth and sailed right down to Gibraltar and then through to Malta.
At the time, how was the regiment organised and what were you equipped with?
We were equipped with Centurion tanks, and we had just a normal B vehicles for the ammunition and petrol, but mainly two squadrons, B and C squadron went. A squadron went somewhere further up the Libyan coast, there as reserve. And we landed in Malta, and we stayed at Malta for about 2 months or more. We stayed on an absolute super polo ground in the very wealthy sports complex just south of Valletta. And we were there for a while, and we used to go into Valletta in the evening, having great fun there. And it's really British-oriented place and wonderful scenery. We managed to do a few little schemes, and in Malta, there seems to be only one bay, Malia Bay, that a tank could actually land in. So the tanks were placed on the landing craft and taken out to Malia Bay, where we practice bringing them in and landing them onto the beach. And they did that a number of times. And then came the order that we were going to Suez. And we were on a tank landing ship, not the big ones that would take a whole squadron, but the smaller ones that took, I think they took about 6 tanks, and they could get closer to the beach. We were on one of those, and the two squadrons, B and C squadrons, that 15, about 30 tanks, they sailed on these small landing craft, or down along very close to the side of Crete. And we were surprised that the Americans were watching us the whole time. American submarines would pop up to the surface, let them see you, and then go down again. And we arrived, the airborne people they'd landed from the air, the parachuters, and they had controlled the beaches while we landed. And we drove in onto the beaches and landed the tanks, and fully expecting that the Egyptians would be there ready to fight us, but they disappeared. They got so scared of the paratroopers that they evacuated the place completely, taking all their civilians with them. And the whole area that was at least a half a mile in from the corniche or the promenade was evacuated. The most beautiful houses and apartments there, all occupied by mainly by Europeans, belonged to the canal company and the merchant shipping, and they'd all been evacuated down back into the Cairo, into down along the Suez Canal, and we searched there, and we found that you've seen that M10 Russian propelled, self-propelled gun, you saw that there, and they had a lot of anti-aircraft and anti-tank guns dug in on the beach, but they never fired at us, and they were made in Switzerland, and they had bought them from Switzerland, and they were all the writing and the signs and everything were in English on them, and we destroyed all those. And then
how did you destroy them?
They just put a charge, an explosive charge, in the barrels and opened up the barrels, and some of them they must have taken from museum pieces as well, but it the tanks patrolled up as far as they wanted to go, and the French landed on the other side, on the desert side of the canal, and eventually they mixed up together, and we had a sergeant's mess place. The troops were in one flats, and a different floor would be for officers, and another floor would be for sergeants, warrant officers and sergeants, and we used to invite the Foreign Legion, and these Foreign Legion chaps used to come along, and there was beer, you could buy bags of beer, and it was well supplied with all the things. It was big naval support ships full of provisions and everything there, and they would pull up into the docks, and we stayed there for a while, but nothing was happening.
Did you have original objectives on the first day of the landing that you had to reach?
The objective was to sort of take over and attack the enemy tanks and take over the port, but it did already, they'd all packed up and gone. The French might have done quite a bit, because they landed on the other side of the canal, but the main Egyptian forces, except a few, there were a few, some famous person was captured and killed there, a notable, I can't think of who it was now, notable entertainment chap, a theatrical chap, and we then just settled in to there. The Marines came and joined us, and it was just a regular lot of waiting, as it were, in the most luxurious conditions in these people's flats, with all their furniture and materials and everything else, until the time came when the United Nations voted against us, that we shouldn't have been there, and they sent some other troops, and it's laughable. The first ones to come were Norwegians, and the Norwegians arrived, and I don't think they'd ever been out of Norway in their life before, and B squadron, their other squadron, was in a school, and they thought, oh, we'll make them welcome. So they evacuated the school, gave up the school, went into flats and other accommodation, welcomed these Norwegians in, and gave them every help they could. But one morning then, when we were taking it easy, we knew it was all over, they surrounded us, and as much as to say they were doing their job, they'd captured us, and we laughed, like, you know, they were doing what they were told to do, training, and they were to unload us and get us back onto our boats, and eventually the time came that we had to come back.
In that period, did you just patrol amongst the streets?
The tanks were in about four or five streets, and they did patrol once, but there was nothing. There was no enemy.
Was there no sniper fire?
No sniper fire. There might have been in the earlier part of it against the paratroopers, but there was certainly not for us at all. And we were intending to really have a battle, because they were equipped with Russian tanks, and they were nowhere in sight. And a few Egyptian hawkers were trying to flog things to you. And that was all there was there. And we just had to wait in this place, and then eventually we had to come back. And he'd laugh about coming back. As we went out in naval ships, there was the officer class, warrant officer class, and the men down below deck, as it would be in the Navy. We came back on a Harwich to Zeebrugge civil ferry. And the captain of the ferry said, "I want no regulations here, this is a civilian thing." And the officers had to eat with the other ranks, all in the canteen, the equivalent of the dining room that the passengers would eat in going over to Holland. And it was very disheartening to the upper officers, who didn't like that sort of thing at all. And we sailed back very slowly, stopped at Gibraltar and refueled, came up past very close to the coast of Portugal. We could see the entrance to the Bay of Lisbon and around Cape Finisterre, and then up through by the Channel Islands, right up, and came in eventually to Tilbury Docks, where we were unloaded.
So in this period, the regiment didn't fire its weapons at
Didn't fire any in anger at all. Not to mine, the squadron didn't anyhow. But
was there any casualties?
We were ready to do it, and it's because we were standing to in case any attack, and we were ready. They might have slept in lovely conditions and all, but they were up at the crack of dawn and ready to, on the signal. There was always people on guard, and each tank had its skeleton crew overnight there, and the warning was to get them down.
You were equipped with Centurions?
Centurion tank.
Can you tell me a little bit about the Centurion?
Yeah, they were a modern tank. Have we got any pictures of them here? The Centurion tank was quite a good one, but being, as I was then, the squadron sergeant major, I was not really in the tank crews, and they were very well equipped. Main high velocity gun, a machine gun, an aircraft gun, and smoke discharges on each side. It could lay down a smoke screen, and they were powered by very powerful engines, and well armoured compared to what we previously had.
And what was your role as Squadron Sergeant Major during the operation?
Well, mainly to the control of the ammunition. I would have been in charge of the B echelon, if you understand, the vehicles that bring up the ammunition and food and water. And it's usually the Squadron Sergeant Major was in charge of that, along with the SQMS, the Squadron Quartermaster Sergeant. And he was really in charge of the B echelon. But it never arose because we never moved. But had we moved down the canal or into Egypt, then obviously the B echelon had to stay well back from the fighting, and you'd be in contact with the headquarters of your squadron, and they would tell you then to arrive to come, or to come halfway and refuel. And that was intended, but it didn't come off because there was really no opposition. I think the opposition that there may have been, and it's quite possible there was quashed by the paratroopers.
What was the opinion of the troops towards the Egyptian forces by not showing
They did well, but you must remember, an awful lot of these men were Zed reservists. There were very few regulars. There was national servicemen and Zed reservists. The regiment was built up on them, and they were reluctantly there, if you understand what I mean.
Did they show any resentment?
Oh, they an awful lot of them were overjoyed that nothing happened, and they wanted to get home. And being back out in civilian life, they weren't tuned in to the discipline that we had in the regular army, and it was hard to get them to do things. But they did eventually sort of settle down and do things, but in a very relaxed way.
And you mentioned these Norwegian troops arriving. Were they UN troops?
Yeah, they were part of the UN force now, and a Scandinavian group took over in the area there. some of them on the French side of the canal.
Now, you did mention off the record when you were leaving Suez that the French were unhappy about you.
Oh, they were. They didn't want us to go. They had a more aggressive attitude towards this because, as you know, the canal had been built by the Lesseps and it was French built, although the British bought it off them a bit, back in history. But they were more... It was their land, and they felt that it was, they were defending their own property, as it were. And they were reluctant to see us go. They didn't go until after us. Well, it could only have been a couple of days, I should imagine. Probably because their ships hadn't arrived. But we were back on this civilian landing ship.
Did they show any kind of resentment to you?
Well, they ignored us, first of all. And then I told you that as we were going down, we had to go down about 2 miles from where we were, where the flats were, down to the docks where the transport ferry was, and they fired at us, whether they were firing over our heads or not, but I don't think they were firing directly to kill anybody, but just to show their resentment that we were going and leaving them.
And how did you feel about that?
Well, we couldn't have seen the point that we were there, really, because there was nothing for us to do. And it was, with all these Zed reservists and all, it was getting a bit slap-happy that it was a good thing that it ended like that. Had there been fighting, they would have moulded themselves into it straight away. But there was nothing there.
So the problems arose because of the inactivity?
Yeah. And it was the same for the French, I suppose. But, and that was that, and then she came back then to Chidwood. When we arrived back, we were on Chidwood, and part of out on the ranges, just between Chidwood and Till's Head, and we were under canvas there, and they were getting ready to discharge the Zed reservists. And all of a sudden, the squadron squadron leader came to me and he said, "You've got a posting." And I thought, "Oh, this is humiliating. Why do I want to be posted?" He said, "You're going to be sent to the County of London Yeomanry to end the rest of the period of your service." So I thought really bad of it because I thought they were dumping me for some reason or other. But anyhow, I got to the County of London Yeomanry in London, and they said, "Right, now we've got a squadron of scout cars at Harrow and you will be in charge of them." So we got a lovely flat, a most luxurious flat in Wembley, and I was in charge of this squadron of little Daimler scout cars. It was going to be a recce regiment at Harrow. And it was amazing. The territorials used to meet some weekends, but some Thursdays they'd come for tuition. And being a radio or wireless instructor, I used to have to take them on wireless procedure while they were there. But being a TA and very happy crowd, they'd do their little bit of training and they were into their various canteens and messes, having an enjoyable time. And the St. John's bush, the headquarters was down St. John's, down near Regent's Park. And that's where we used to have to go for instructions there. And eventually I did the time at Harrow, and then eventually the time came for me to finish my 22 years, and I was... left Harrow and went to Bovington, said farewells to them at Bovington, went over to Lulworth, met a few of my old friends who were over there still, and just packed up and was back. Stayed in Wembley for a long time afterwards. They didn't want to get you out quickly. They gave you every chance to course, and I said I couldn't leave the services. I didn't want to leave the services. The only thing to... Oh, they offered me some great jobs. The regimental association, but they were all to do with security in the West End, security of jewellers' shops and these Pall Mall and places like that. I didn't want that. But I said I'd joined the War Department Constabulary and went to Woolwich and had a course at Woolwich Arsenal. And that was quite good. And then got posted to Whedon, and we're at the end of the... That's where he ended up at Whedon.
So what did you think of your 22-year service in the Royal Tank Regiment?
Was most enjoyable, into a good sense. There were rough times and bad times, but from the latter part of it, of course, when he had a normal married life, and it was grand. And my son was born in Germany, in Munster, and my daughter was born in Kingsbury, London, when we were at Wembley. So it was just a normal life. It nearly became like a 9-to-5 job in the TA. It was quite good.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Kennedy. Well,